Okay, Gene, go ahead.
First question is Jack Sarfatti. Now, Jack Sarfatti has this idea that we are the supercomputer, the super quantum computer that we programmed ourselves. In your private session with Bob, I heard that you both concluded the black hole is a supercomputer made of carbon. Is that correct? Are you there?
I forgot to unmute Ion just a minute. I concentrated so much on unmuting you. Okay, there it is. There's Ion.
Slide over and over and over down his throat hole. He lays it out. They lay the food on the counter, and he just continually consumes it just all day long. Just grazing, grazing, grazing. Then he nervously watches them damn hands. It's so funny. That Bob, he's just a cat's meow.
Did you hear my question, Ion, about the black hole?
No,
black
we hole were, sorry, we didn't hear you. We were on mute.
So do it again. Start over again, Gene.
Now this time, print slowly. Print slowly. That's right. This time, print slowly. Okay,
did
now let's say, stop. If we said that and you heard it, and Jack Sarfatti, not Sarfatti, Jack Sarfatti, did indeed say that, and we said it, and it was, then how are you going to argue with it?
I won't argue with it, then.
Good.
Let's talk about the carbon part of this. I heard the words explicit information processing sequence. Now, was that words from
yes.
an article Bob was reading? It was.
Hey,
so those
Gene, start over again, Gene.
Was Bob reading? Bob was reading an article. Bob can't read. He doesn't read. He quit reading years ago. Since the Gutenberg Galaxy, he laid all that down. He has libraries full of stuff. He's just now starting to read the LaRouche Quadrant. That's been his chart for 150 fucking years, and he's just now, he made the whole quadrant, and he's just now looking at some of his damn work. It's the most amazing thing ever. We think we're going to have him brought up on a trial of heresy. We're going to have him convict him of a heretic.
Trial of heresy.
Okay, Gene, start off with Sarfatti and the supercomputer idea of Sarfatti. Start like you did start before.
Ion, very simply, Sarfatti has an idea that we are programmed by a super quantum computer, and we're the ones that are programming the computer that creates us, that creates all matter, essentially.
Well, that wouldn't matter.
So you and Bob, in your private session with Bob, you guys concluded that a black hole is a supercomputer made of carbon. You guys didn't talk about...
No, it's not. No. We said that's where it is. The black hole is not. See, they don't even know what the black hole is. They just go to the edge of it, to the Hawking arena, just to that outermost edge. Once they go inside, they don't know shit. They don't have a clue. We say that's where the supercomputer is. It's not the black hole. It's where it is located. It's transitive.
Is all information located on the edges of the black hole, on the sides?
No, it's inside. It's inside, and all is recorded.
So all that is recorded is that network to our recorder, our personal recorder?
Yes.
Is that the new changing?
Yes, that's sad. It's sad that you've been duped by a box. By a cardboard box, living in a box.
A box, a looky box, a TV, a radio.
A box.
Boxes. Containing electricity in
pitch,
boxes.
A pitch pipe.
A pitch pipe?
Yes,
a pitch pipe. You're saying P-I-P, as in smoking a pipe, or are you saying P-Y-P-E?
We're saying none of those. We're talking a P-I-P-E, like if you blow a horn, a pipe.
Pike?
Bob.
Pitch pipe. Yeah. Bob, what's he saying?
Stop eating.
Pitch pipe?
Pitch pipe. When they blow the pipe to get you on pitch.
Oh, got it. A tuning pipe.
Vicissitudes.
All right, so that goes back to tuning.
Well, was that scary for you? It was pretty scary for us, too.
What, that whole pitch pipe thing?
Yeah, that was scary. Like, damn, it's like, oh, no, hey, hold on. Hold it. Wait a minute, and there we go.
Okay, so let's get back to that black hole. Now, all information is contained inside the black hole, and in your discussion with Bob, you said that all the information falls through the black hole. It doesn't stick. And that's what made me think of the words explicit information processing sequence. Is a black hole more like a sequence or a cycle?
A frequency wavelength pitch.
Frequency wavelength
pitch. Like a pitch pipe. God damn, Bob, listen to her. Oh, she's on a tear. This is good. We hear echoes. It's beautiful. It's music to Bob's deaf ears. It's beautiful.
Echoes from where? From previous...
Bob's dead ears.
Bob's ears aren't dead.
He can't hear it. When he hears it, he doesn't hear it. The next time he comes back and he asks him, what? He'll say something. He'll say, what did I just say? I don't even remember what I just said. What? Who are we talking about? What is it? And he says, what is it? His own words he can't hear. And then he asks it again, and then it makes sense. And then he does it, and then he can't get back. We got to do a few rants because Akito's got to pay for his lucky box, so we got to work hard. We're working hard for you, Bob. We're working hard for you. And then we're going to come back along and get it all set up together. But now let's answer your question, the rest of your question about the frequency variation, the variegation. Do you know what variegated thread is?
Multicolored.
Okay, it's not multi-sets of colored thread. It's one thread that is multicolored.
Okay.
So it waxes and wanes from tenths,
sure,
degrees,
wavelengths,
hues. Now, if you pull those up, as in crocheting, you pull those frequencies tighter, so those colors mesh and merge together. The machination,
sure,
is what you're trying to develop if you're crocheting a perfect African.
Okay, Ian, so the wavelengths modulate and the frequency changes. They become closer and shorter and wider and longer.
Maybe.
And those,
maybe.
Those
maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Now,
see, maybe. Because you can do a pitch and run out the hooks and run out your stitches. And we're going to teach you how to crochet or even tatting. Do you know what tatting is, to tat?
I don't remember the difference between tatting and crocheting.
Tatting is making lace.
Kind of stitch.
It's knots. No, neither is a stitch.
Oh,
crocheting
lace
is you're just pulling thread through.
Yeah.
Tatting lace. You're making knots, tying knots.
Yes, with a much, much smaller implement.
With a tatting shuttle. One is a shuttle, a tatting shuttle, and the other is a crochet hook. And that's the difference.
Okay, so now we're talking about this intertwining, and, you know, I still have this image of the black hole, whatever that is. It's no longer what it used to be.
That's looking for a tatting. The old gray mare isn't either, honey.
So it's an intertwining, and that brings me to carbon bonding. You posted an image of polar and nonpolar covalent bonds. Bonds.
Bombs. Yeah, that's what it was, bombs. Bob, you don't have to put all that in your mouth at one time. Slow down a little bit, Bob. There's no hurry. We're going to be here for days. Just calm down. Don't choke to death. Stop it.
What's he eating?
Oh, my
What's
stars.
He eating?
It's all that shit laid on the counter. It's just all mashed up together now.
Oh, see, now mash. That's another question I have. But let's get back to bonding. I want to figure out, you've mentioned a number of different types of bonding. And when we talk about oxygen and how we're going to use carbon dioxide or produce carbon dioxide and how that's changing, it leads me to the bonds between the atoms are going to change, or the way they're bonding is going to change.
The way they're bound. The way they're bound, not bonding.
The way they're all
binding and bonding.
Okay, difference between binding and bonding.
You can have a binding agreement that's not bonded, right?
Sure.
Well, that's the difference. There's the rub.
Okay, so let's use CO2. Let's use a carbon dioxide molecule as an example.
Or psyllium silicate. Psyllium silicate.
Ion, we got to stick to my image here, otherwise I'm not...
That's what Bob's been saying for years. He says it over and over and over. And then we answer it totally, completely, perfectly. He forgets what the question was by the time we get to the answer. All is recorded. He comes back and listens to it. And then 3.5 years later, the motherfucker is smart as shit.
Stop!
I mean, he is banging. Carbon dioxide. Banging. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
There's one molecule of carbon dioxide, and it contains one atom of carbon and two atoms of oxygen. So they are binding. They're bounded together, and they're going to unbound.
Right. Oxygen. It'll be unbounded. It'll be unabounded.
Unabounded.
Yes. And also
the
will basically be, they will actually basically become also unabridged.
They become multiple what?
Unabridged.
Multiple on a bridge.
No, on the bridge. Unabridged. Not on a bridge. Unabridged.
Unabridged. Unabridged means you get the whole story.
Okay. Oops, there it is.
Sorry. So the two oxygen atoms that are now no longer bounded by the carbon atom, where do they go? What happens to those two oxygen atoms?
Nothing. They're
Nothing
unbound.
What happens to them?
They're unbound.
So when you talk about oxygen decreasing, it's just the concentration of oxygen in the whole mix of stuff.
Unbound. And once it comes to a certain level, it becomes something else. Something else is the Al2SO4. Oh, wait. Yeah, we can't do that anymore. They holler at us when we give out too much stuff.
So there'll be fewer oxides and more sulfates.
There'll be no oxides when we're through.
No oxides. But there's
when we're through. But
there.
We're not through there. Yeah.
So does it change from a dioxide to
give
a trioxide?
Give us a minute. It will, and polysulfates.
So the change in the use
chain,
of
chain,
carbon dioxide.
Chains of fools.
That's a great tune.
And that applies to this one, too. Now, see, if Bob was on the money, he would be able to play that. Urethra, it's urethra, not urethra.
All right, now let's get back to the bonding chain. You're talking about the chain that's created in the bond, correct? Because when the bond's different.
James Bond, yep.
Yes.
007.
When two atoms of the same element share electrons, they are shared equally, and it's called a nonpolar covalent bond. Would that be the example of any oxide when the
007.
Or a dioxide, right, when the oxygen atoms bond together?
Well, no, it may be nonpolar, even when it's equal to sharing electrons between two atoms of a diatomic molecule. So you have a symmetrical arrangement of the polar bonds. It's a more complex molecule.
Yeah, the chain. An arrangement of how the atoms
chain,
are.
The chain of fools.
All right, so the arrangement of how the carbon binds or bonds.
Well, no, you're talking about the wrong thing. You got negative charges, positive charges, okay? You got oxygen, okay, you have oxygen. You have hydrogen, a lot of hydrogen. Everybody's been talking about oxygen, 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 but if you make it like a little pig, That's where you got the little snout, and you got +8 in the middle, and then you got a circle around it, and then you got a bigger circle that looks like the face, and those are the oxygen atoms, and then you got two hydrogens at the top, so it's H2O. That's like the circles of a little
peak. Yes, those are oxides. Those are oxides.
Yeah.
So they
So examples of polar molecules of minerals that are gases under standard conditions are ammonia, that's NH3, sulfur dioxide, SO2, and hydrogen sulfide, H2S.
And eventually it turns into AlSO4.
AlSO4.
So the hydrogen goes away. It's not a quadroxide with four.
Ethanol is also polar, too.
Ethanol is a quadroxide? I don't even know the name of a
four
atoms.
It's polar.
Okay, so now let's go back to polar and nonpolar. Sometimes there are electrons left over, and that's what causes the charge. Determines whether they're positive.
Well, give us an example.
Charged.
Give us examples of nonpolar liquids.
Oh, geez. A
Well,
it wouldn't be pure water. It'd be pure what?
No.
Pure something liquid.
Most hydrocarbon liquids are nonpolar molecules. How about gasoline?
What's gasoline?
It's a nonpolar liquid.
That means it's made up of atoms of the same element.
It's a hydrogen-carbon liquid.
But it's nonpolar.
Alkanes are nonpolar because they can't be dissolved in water, as do polar molecules.
It's nonpolar, non-covalent?
Alkanes don't dissolve in nonpolar substances. They only do it in like substances. So nonpolar gases would be helium, He, neon, Ne, krypton, Kr, xenon, Xe.
Okay. There's a difference between liquids and gases.
Well, of course. Water is a polar molecule, and oil is nonpolar. They won't form a solution. On the other hand, since alcohol is nonpolar, it will form a solution with water. Then it will also make a solution with alcohol and oil. The geometry of atoms and polar molecules is such that one end of the molecules has a positive electrical charge. The other side has a negative charge. Nonpolar molecules do not have charges at their ends. Mixing molecules the same polarity usually results in molecules forming a solution or a new position. Like when you have a little heart, and you got the seeds, you got all those extra seeds, a whole bunch of seeds, like in Super Sugar. You got to take those little Cheerios, the seeds, and make them bond around the heart. It's in the shape of a heart. You got all those extra carbons that you got to fit somewhere.
So the carbons form a donut chain, a chain that looks like a donut in this process.
Basically.
Of oxides and hydroxides and dioxides and trioxides going away. And we can look at that in... Well, that's the angel diagram, then.
Yeah,
that's
basically,
carbon.
Yeah. That's another example of the same number, the same thing. Good. That's so wonderful. That was so nice of you.
So the angel diagram is a black hole? Give me some more words about the relationship of a black hole and the angel diagram.
You're talking about the dangers of dihydrogen monoxide? DHMO.
Is it related to dihydroxymethylidene?
You mean like the stuff that you use to make styrofoam?
You talked about carbonite in Bob's private session in the black
hole. Yeah, and actually that's like plastic. That's like plastic, but that's another thing.
Carbonite is in Wiki. Somebody posted on the chat. And it's that word, dihydroxymethylidene. How is that related to the word you just said? The other word that I didn't write down. What was the other word, Ion, that you just said?
You got the DHMO, right? You can analyze the name DHMO to determine the chemical form of the substance. D DI, the foreign element, usually indicates that there are two atoms of that element in the formula. Thus, there are two atoms of hydrogen. Mono, or mon, before an element, indicates there's one atom of an element in the formula. Thus, there is one atom of oxygen in the formula. Since there are two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen, the molecule of the formulation is H2O. We normally call this compound water, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's look at the real dangers. There are actually some dangers from water. Frozen water is ice. Prolonged exposure to ice can cause severe tissue damage, such as frostbite. Accidental inhalation of too much water can cause death by drowning. When rain passes through the chemical pollutants in the air, it can acidify, turning to acid rain. Although water is used in the production of materials like styrofoam, it is not recommended that you eat such materials. So, you can see that it's possible that water can be harmful in some situations. Like other common substances, the chemical dihydrogen monoxide can be dangerous or harmful in some situations.
Oxygen is decreasing in water.
No, didn't you get it? We were being cheeky. Did you not get it? We just proved how water causes cancer.
Yes, you, okay, you were, yes. And that you could run off on a rant about how the atmosphere of the air causes cancer as well, couldn't
you? Well, DHMO is used in the production of styrofoam. Styrofoam is bad, stays in the land, whatever. Can't use it, can't do it, can't be it, can't have it. Never going to work, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. Can't do it. You guys DMHO to use them, so that's it. Styrofoam's bad, bad, bad. We just did the same thing with the damn dihydrogen mon. There's a quiz. There's a quiz. Monoxide. So, therefore, we just proved how water will kill you. Ta-da. It's dangerous. The FDA needs to come down on this goddamn water problem we got. But although we are enhancing the water now with lead, that seems to help it a little bit then. Isn't that nice? We like this. Are you ready to move on to isotopes?
Well, tell me a little bit. I'll take a lot of notes about isotopes.
An element is defined as an atom with a specific number of protons in its nucleus, determining its atomic number. And chemical characteristics. There are usually several possible numbers of neutrons for the specific element. Each element typically has several isotopes, and it's determined by the number of neutrons in its nucleus. So therefore, typically, one amount of neutrons is the most stable in an element with the most abundant atom in the element. Special circumstances are rare, and unstable isotopes allow for such applications of them. Okay? Basically, the questions you might come up with is, how many neutrons are there in a nucleus?
Isn't that related to how silly scientists calculate the mass or the...
Well, it's silly, it is. You don't even have a weight. You just count them up, and the biggest number is the biggest weight. And that becomes its number. An element is defined by an atom of a specific number of protons in its nucleus determines its atomic number.
Yes.
Protons have a positive electrical charge. The number of protons in the nucleus results in the equal number of electrons that orbits around the nucleus. Electrons have negative charge determine the chemical characteristics of the atom. Since the electrical charge of the protons tend to push them apart, neutrons are included in the nucleus to help hold them together. There's no firm formula to determine how many neutrons are required in a nucleus, but it seems that one value results as a more stable atom than others. The element will primarily consist
That's
of atoms
changing.
With the most stable number of neutrons in their nuclei. There'll also be atoms in the elements that are numbers of neutrons. The atoms with the various numbers of neutrons are called isotopes of that element. Okay? Although all combinations
That's
are isotopes, usually, most stable is called the element that's less common atoms that are called isotopes. Carbon is a good example of isotope. Are you interested?
We think carbon is really stable ion, don't we?
Yes, but carbon typically has 6 protons and 6 neutrons in the nucleus, although it's not as common. There are isotope carbon with 7 neutrons. It's called carbon-13 and consists 1% of all carbon atoms. Another isotope is called carbon-14, which has 8 neutrons and is radioactive. Carbon-14 has less than 1 billionth of a carbon in nature.
It has less than 1 billionth of...
carbon in nature.
Of the nature of carbon.
Of carbon in nature. Oxygen is also an isotope.
Give us some new names for carbon, then. Is there going to be a carbon 122?
No, we can't do that. We can't do that. It's not committed. Oxygen has got 8 proteins in its nucleus, but its nucleus may contain 8, 9, or 10 neutrons and still be stable. There are other numbers of neutrons possible, but they are unstable and they decay into something else within a fraction of a second. The atom with 8 protons and 8 neutrons is the most common. It makes up 99% of all oxygen. Often, the isotopes are reading according to the total number of proton and neutrons in their nuclei. Nuclei is the plural of nucleus from Latin. Thus, we would have oxygen 16, O 17, and O 18.
You're describing the prequel to the recalculation of the periodic table.
Yes, like the uses of isotopes. The less common isotopes of an element have a different atomic weight than the common form of the element. They may also be unstable and radioactive. Heavy water is an example. Hydrogen usually has a nucleus consisting of only one proton. An isotope of hydrogen called deuterium has its nucleus consisting of one proton and one neutron. The deuterium combines with the oxygen and forms called heavy water. Because the deuterium component of the water is twice as heavy as a simple hydrogen. Although the amount of heavy water molecules in nature is very small, one part in 32,000, it's been concentrated for use in the development of nuclear weapons. If it's concentrated, can be poisonous to plants and animals.
Is the concentration of deuterium increasing?
Yes. And then you have carbon dating. Since carbon 14, C14 isotope is radioactive, the amount of it in an object as once living can be used to approximate the date of death. Huh? That's how we find out how long you can live, by putting you next to dead people. Yay! We can carbon date you now. By living, a plant or animal renews carbon in its system. Once the object dies, the amount of C14 only changes as it decays into some other material. Since C14 decays at the rate where half of its change in about 5,600 years, known as a half-life of years since death, can be calculated. So you can't tell if you're alive or dead until you lay you next to a dead person. Thus, if an object is a fossil, has only 1/4 of the C14 compared to living objects that died around 11,200 years ago. Of course, since C14 normally concentrates about 1/1 billionth of carbon found in nature, the measurement can be difficult to make certainty that they are exact. So, to be clear, an element is an atom with specific number of protons and a nucleus of several possible numbers of neutrons. Each of these atoms is also called an isotope of an element. Typical one amount of neutrons is the most stable for the element that is most abundant from the atom of the element. Special characteristics of the rare unstable isotopes follow in various applications.
Nice. Wow. I'll have to listen to that a few times. And it does have to do with the bonding. The bonding's going to change. And we better get used to loving cancer cells.
Want to talk about hydrogen?
Sure.
There's a variety of uses for hydrogen. It's the lightest element, and can be used as a lifting agent in balloons. Since hydrogen gas is highly flammable, it can be dangerous to use. But this property and others make hydrogen super suitable for use as fuel. The most common use of hydrogen chemical is chemical processes and reactions.
How is that going to be different, though? Because we're not going to need it for fuel.
Oh, as a lifting agent. As a lifting agent, it causes a balloon to lift and float upward in the air. Air consists of about 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen. A nitrogen atom can have an atomic weight of the mass of 14. Oxygen has an atomic weight of 16. And the atomic mass of hydrogen is 1. All three are molecules of a natural state. N2, O2, and H2.
Is hydrogen increasing?
Thus, a balloon filled with hydrogen gas weighs much less than air it displaces. Thus creating a buoyancy force that pushes the balloon upward. A balloon filled with hydrogen gas, H2, will readily float upward in the air. It seems to be a prime candidate for lighter-than-air airship, but it also proved to be too dangerous.
Is hydrogen increasing in our cells, Ion?
Yes, and it can also be used as fuel.
We can burn hydrogen inside our cells for fuel.
Since hydrogen is highly flammable, especially when mixed with pure oxygen, it's used as a fuel
in
rockets.
In the belly.
Usually they combine liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen to make an explosive mixture. Unfortunately, in 1986, the U.S. Space Shuttle Challenger exploded when a flame accidentally ignited the liquid hydrogen in the external fuel tank. This again shows that the gas can be dangerous and cause disaster in some situations.
So when oxygen decreases, then hydrogen can explode or blow up.
Oh, in thermonuclear energy, when hydrogen is heated to an extreme temperature, such as the sun, the nuclei of hydrogen atoms will fuse to create helium nuclei. The fusion results in the release of an enormous amount of energy called thermonuclear energy. Is what creates the energy from the sun. By using an atomic bomb to create the temperature similar to that of the sun, thermonuclear fusion created by the Earth can form a hydrogen bomb. The hydrogen was many times more powerful than the atomic bomb. Scientists are working on harnessing this energy to be used in a peaceful means by creating inexpensive energy, especially for generating electrical power. Unfortunately, they've not been able to do this in a stay usable manner.
Have we talked about carbon yet?
Yes, we did. Now we're talking about hydrogen. Hydrogen is an essential part of many chemical processes. First, you have acids and bases. Hydrogen atoms are very acid and base. Hydrogen gas is sometimes used directly to create an acid. For example, it's used in the creation of hydrochloric acid. H2 plus Cl goes to H2Cl. Petroleum. Hydrogen gas is used for processing the petroleum byproducts to break down crude oil into fuel oil, gasoline, and such. Fertilizer. Hydrogen is important in creating ammonia, NH3, for use in making fertilizer. Food and fat. Hydrogen gas is used in hydrogenating agent to polyunsaturated fat, such as used in margarine. But it's also used in making unhealthy trans fat that make other used in cookies and other sweet goodies. Okay? So now, to give you the grits and the gravy, here you go. Hydrogen was once used in zeppelins and blimps, but it proves to be too dangerous.
Yeah.
Since hydrogen gas is highly flammable, it can be suitable for use as a fuel. The most common use of hydrogen in chemical processes and reactions.
Alcohols, oxides, and trioxides, they have a pH level. They're acidic?
No, they're a base, but they can be acidic.
They're a base. So if they're gradually going away and turning into sulfates instead, then there'll be more hydrogen that's volatile because they're not stabilized by the oxygen bonding anymore. Is that what you're describing?
Well, if you're talking about C2H5OH, it's 7.33.
7.33. Isn't that pretty neutral?
About right in the middle. That's what we said.
C what? H5? C something H5.
C2H5OH. 7.33.
Dihydrogen monoxide.
Ethanol.
Oh, this is ethanol?
Yeah, you just looked it up.
I can't keep up, honey.
Lord Jesus, Bob says that too. And we tell him, just say, be still, Bob, and take it like a man. That's all you need to do.
I'll just stop saying can't and keep talking. Interesting.
Well,
this is
ethanol is a straight chain alcohol, which uses a hydroxyl group. It causes it to be slightly basic. While ethanol is also called drinking alcohol, it occurs in fruits and vegetables and grains and fermented to produce alcoholic beverages. The result may be either acidic or basic, depending on the fermentation process, which tends to become more acidic as it progresses. This happens due to the metabolic processes of yeast, which excrete into the beverage through fermentation over time. It's yeast that helps to convert the sugars in the fruits or vegetables into ethanol or CO2.
Okay, Gene. Excellent, Gene. We're going to take a break here. Very good. Massive seminar there. I just want to check a number.
I guess.
Yeah, we have a caller from Wailuku.
Hey, Thank you. We had to get a little bit of content in because everybody said it was just us jacking off, so we had to give you some meat.
Yes.
So Bob would have something to say.
Yeah,
he
thanks
gets
so
tax
much.
Credit. Bob gives,
so much
Bob
better
gives,
now.
Bob receives money for his participation, so it has to be a community service to try to help all the Laughter Street listeners from CKLN 88.1 that we provide help and assistance to. So we have to make this content available as a public service announcement to help those that left departed in the ascending. But thank you, Megan. We'd like to thank everybody from Pappy's Flour Meal, the Happy Flour Power Meal Power, for this portion of our program. Happy birthday!